The following presentation is brought to you exclusively on GoFightLive.tv.
Ooh. Wow. Oh, good morning, honey. So, what do we got on the menu today? Whoa, what the hell was that for?
You're waking up with the Billy C. Morning Show.
That's only in the morning. You're supposed to be up cooking breakfast or somebody, and so...
Only on GoFightLive.tv.
That's like an alarm clock.
Woo-hoo! Waking you up like a double shot of black caffeinated.
Excuse me. I ordered an espresso.
Every weekday morning at 6 a.m. is the Billy C. Morning Show.
Good morning, everybody. You're listening to or watching. That's right, I keep forgetting about this camera here. The Billy C. Morning Show, only on GoFightLive.tv. What's up, Jeremy? Jeremy, in case you tuned in right, you know, a couple minutes before, you might have saw our GoFightLive banner and... Because Billy C had to have the producer hat on. I was all ready to.
That was a test, Bill.
Finagle.
I was really outside looking through the window the whole time.
And then I heard the door bust in.
Oh, God. Kill me.
Here's Jeremy. Yeah. So, what are you doing, man? Feeling okay? Would you have to push your car all the way here?
No, no. Actually, no car troubles today. Just not feeling too well.
Oh, you took a cab?
Yeah, no, I walked. No, that's the only time I have no car troubles is when I walked.
No car troubles. I took a cab today.
Yeah, just not feeling too well.
Yeah, well, you know what? It happens to all of us. And while Yuz was sleeping...
Oh, I wasn't ready for that one.
Forget
that's
it.
That's right. You just go ahead.
You know, while Yuz was sleeping, I'm sure there's a lot of people not feeling too well in California, IA. Because apparently the fires that still burn, I mean, we don't... You know your mic is on still there.
Sorry about that.
Bumbly.
My lens popped out.
Yeah, well, we all heard that. California, I can't imagine these fires that burn, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks. But apparently this one is the champion, the undisputed heavyweight champion of forest fires out in California. It's exceeded the previous record that was set in October 2003. So far, and the fire's still burning, it's burned over 1,300 square miles of land, 100 homes across California. Crazy, crazy stuff out there. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, he visited the site and everything. Anyway, he was given kudos to, they sent a unmanned drone airplane with infrared technology to, you know, monitor to see whether there's any other flare-ups. Because one of the problems, I guess, what's happening is a lot of these fires spread underground through the root systems and then pop up whenever they can. Yeah, so these guys are fighting these battles, firefighters, and, you know, it's like a never-ending thing. Could you imagine the smoke? And I can't even imagine. Plus, the heat would drive me.
Yeah.
I mean, that alone.
I don't like to tan.
You know what? It's getting a little hot around here. Well, what do you think? There's 1,300 miles burning. You know, that's one big, there's a lot of s'mores going on around. S'mores or whatever they call those. You know, marshmallows, Hershey bars.
You're right, you got it.
You know, crackers.
Crack.
Whatever. Speaking of crack.
Oh, right.
Funny thing, what did you review? You must have
I told
been
you,
really
I was peeking through the window. I just wanted to see if you panicked or if you were calm, cool, and collected.
Apparently yesterday, a woman and her beau were arrested in Florida because she beat him up with a toilet seat. Why? Because he was smoking crack in the bathroom. And he refused to give it up.
Hmm.
She came in. She's only 18. And she came in and told her boyfriend to put the crack down. He said no. They started fighting. She ripped the toilet seat off. Well, it's undetermined if the seat had already been sort of broken. Because she didn't look too big and tough. She was actually... attractive young woman, and she beat him with that, cut his face open. When the cops came, there was blood all over the bathroom, and he managed, in a struggle, the guy wouldn't give up his rock.
That's correct.
And
give me my crack.
He dropped a little of it in the tub, And she was trying to wash it down. He was fighting with her, and then the cops came. So they managed to recover some of their substance, and it's been recorded.
You really think she was fighting with him because he wouldn't quit or because he wouldn't share?
I don't know.
Give me that crack, you crack. You know what?
The picture that I saw of both of them, she looked kind of normal, like she was trying to straighten this idiot out. I mean, he's, you know, 5 years older, six years older than her. And I don't know. Plus, they were living, it seemed like maybe there was a commune there. There were some other friends who called the police that all lived there. And anyway, in Florida, Florida's a crazy place. On one end of the spectrum, you got, you know, acres and acres of land burning. And at the other coast, you got people hitting each other with toilet seats over getting a crack pipe. But
I got my crack pipe.
In no, that was hash pipe. Oh, I was sorry. Just playing. I was one thing that just came on the news last night, yesterday afternoon. The World Boxing News, or World Boxing Council news. Here's the deal. You know, we've been talking about that Humberto Soto and Francisco Lorenzo deal. Well, here's the official word from the WBC. It was put out yesterday afternoon by the WBC Presidente, Jose Suleiman. And he said that the following is taking place. Number one, the World Boxing Council official confirms its decision of a no contest, which was what was rendered at the ring, which was rendered ringside on the June 28th bout between Humberto Soto and Francisco Lorenzo. Soto and Lorenzo, this is number two, Soto and Lorenzo must fight again after the time that Lorenzo's medical suspension by the Nevada Boxing Commission's medical board has ended on December 26th, when an updated thorough medical exam of Lorenzo, and he's approved, they will have to fight. This is number three. Due to the length of Lorenzo's medical suspension, Soto will be approved to fight for the title if that fight is before the end of October, which is about 60 days before the end of Lorenzo's suspension. Number four, in spite of our friendly relationship with Lorenzo, the WBC is imposing on him a fine of $2,000 for unsportsmanlike actions in the ring, which were successful in influencing the referee's decision. So they obviously reviewed the tape here, because he should get in an academy for that. And the worst thing I think about it was that the guy was bleeding all over the place, and the fight, if it would have been stopped anyway, would have been a result of a punch, not an illegal punch. And anyway, finally, number five, the present WBC world champion at lightweight and super featherweight, Manny Pacquiao, must announce by July 28th which title he wants to keep. If he decides to relinquish the lightweight division title, Soto must fight Pacquiao for the WBC super featherweight title with Lorenzo fighting the winner. So this was out yesterday. It's the official word from the WBC. So I guess I'm just curious to know what in the record books. This is the WBC's take, but what's the record books going to say? Some other news. Were you going to say something there? No? Gurgling?
Still, yeah.
Still gurgling over there? Antonio Tarver is fighting Bad Chad Dawson. You know, this makes some sense to me now, because I was kind of confused at why Chad would just throw his title away. Well, I guess because he's fighting for Antonio Tarver's title. So they will fight on October 11th on Showtime. Showtime. You know, Showtime actually comes up with some good fights. I mean, HBO does as well, but Showtime comes up with some good matchups. You know, it's funny for me to see them put them on the same night. You know,
that's the beauty of competition.
Well,
Bill,
that's clearly competition, you know. But Antonio Tarver and Chad Dawson, decent fight. You know, I think Tarver's seen his better days. So we'll see what happens in that fight. But we got a long way to go before that happens. October 11th. So we'll keep our eyes on that. You know, tomorrow night is a fight that, you know, I guess I'm interested in it in a sense, because, you know, I'm hoping that, and it was out again yesterday, I saw on fightnews.com that Tony, James Tony and Rachman, you know, are both kind of at least agreeing now verbally in the media that whoever loses, the loser will retire, which I think is a smart move. I wasn't crazy about the fight at first, but, you know, people like Keith swaying me to, you know, give these guys a shot. And from what I understand, Rachman is really, you know, whether it's a hype, I've heard this all before about Rachman specifically, but word out of his camp is that he's in the best shape that he's ever been. He's been training really hard. And, you know, Tony, I haven't heard anything about James Tony. You know who we should call? We should call my beautiful friend Rachel. She knows all. She lives right near James Tony. That's what we should do. I'm going to get an inside scoop from Rachel. So we'll do that. I'm just thinking out loud here. Thinking out loud.
Are you
going to
make
radio.
Her go knock on his door?
Well, no. I mean, she knows a lot about him. She loves the guy. They're really good friends. And I'm just going to ask her her opinion on you know, if he looks like he's in shape or anything. You know, she's probably a little biased for him too.
Yeah.
You know? But James Toney, he's a character. You know, I wrote a piece that I'm still getting comments on it. It was on the DailySports.com and EastsideBoxing.com about Vladimir Klitschko, and I never said he didn't have character. I think he's got lots of character. He's a great guy. What I meant was he's not a character. There's a difference, you know. Mike Tyson,
right?
He's a character. He was, you know, he still is a character. You know,
Mickey Mouse is a character.
Nah, different kind.
Oh, sorry,
different kind. You know, right. Bugs Bunny, yeah, he's a character. You know, but no, you know what I think. My point was simple. It's like this. You know, the heavyweight champion of the world, especially. Needs to be a character. Needs somebody to that everyone can relate to. And I'm not saying he's got to be a bad guy. He's got to, you know, beat up women or rob banks or get in trouble or whatever. But, you know, he's got to be able to relate to the normal person somehow. And that's my point with Vladimir. I'm not taking away his skill. I'm not taking away anything else except that maybe it's a strictly a marketing issue. Maybe he's just not marketed as well as he is the Ukraine and Germany, the way he should be marketed the same way here in the U.S. and also in the U.K. And I think maybe we would receive him more. At least I would, you know. So maybe I'm the only one out there. And according to some of the responses, I haven't read through all of them yet. But I know. According to most, they seem to agree with me. Except the people from the Ukraine.
They hate me.
They adamantly, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
On a side note, can you stop the hate mail? Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to Rachman and Tony, I hope that the loser really does retire because there's really no need for him to continue. What, is it time for a break?
Yes, it is, sir.
Oh, all right. Sorry, went over again.
No, right on time.
No,
am I? Now you're late.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Keith. What's going on?
Who?
I got to have another sip of coffee. It's a guy from Arkansas. You know, Keith DeSara. We'll be right back.
A little too much fun last night. Keep it here. It's the Billy C. Morning Show on GoFightLive.tv. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we bring you Talkin' Boxing with Billy C. We think you'll learn something and maybe even have a good laugh.
I wish one of you guys had children before I could kick them in the head or stomp on their before you could feel my pain, because that's the pain I had.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you. If you have a problem, turn off your station.
You can't last 2 minutes in my world. Look at you scared now, you hung. Scared of the real.
Make sure you kick me good with those big
lips.
It's
Talkin' Boxing with Billy C.
Billy C.
There are just some things you do every morning. We say, add a new sound to your mornings. No. I said a new sound.
Good morning.
morning, everybody.
It's the Billy C. Morning Show.
First morning daily boxing show ever.
Brought to you exclusively by GoFightLive.tv. Join us every weekday at 6 a.m. for the first and only daily morning boxing show.
Come on, I want my egg sandwiches, and that All limo right. better pick me okay. up tomorrow on time.
Coffee and breakfast, limo service. What else does this guy want? Log on to GoFightLive.tv, sign up for free, and you can watch video of the Billy C. Morning Show live as it happens.
Come on, Bill. Get the crumbs out of your mustache.
It's boxing and entertainment in a whole new light. It's the Billy C. Morning Show.
The fight's on us. GoFightLive.tv is your internet home for live and on-demand boxing video. Go to GoFightLive.tv to see great boxing action, including live fights, live daily webcams of fighters training and competing, video boxing shows featuring celebrities of today and yesterday, as well as boxing news, interviews, stats, and new innovative and exciting content added daily. Click on www.GoFightLive.tv. The fight's on us.
Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Billy C. Morning Show, only on GoFightLive.tv. And I'm joined now by my buddy, Keith Tessara in Arkansas. What's up, Keith?
Good morning, gentlemen.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
It's something about the, I was going to say, some crap about the fires in California.
Really?
You don't even...
I don't know. I've been reading up on some
on
of
boxing.
My boxing, getting some articles ready for the Daily Sports, and then I've had no time for fires.
Well, we did a short little piece, and it's like just broke the record. Over 1,300 acres have been burned up already. I find that amazing because you get one little building burns down around here and people get crazy, you know. You got 1,300 acres. But anyway, yesterday Ricky Hatton is thinking about getting rid of his trainer. You know, this seems to be such a trend when these guys get towards this part of their career. Why is that, Keith? I mean, is it something where, you know, the continuity is gone, or you just think they're looking for a spark, or why does it happen? And the second part of the question, it's a two-part question. Every time that it seems to happen of late, that of the most recent guys that I can think of, a la Jermaine Taylor, it doesn't seem to work.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I mean, maybe they need a spark. I don't know. It's weird. It tends to happen at the tail end of everybody's career. It's news to me. It's one of those phenomena.
Yeah, you know, you see, it's almost like a trend. Oscar De La Hoya did it. Even Floyd Mayweather did it, didn't he? Yeah, you know, I mean, and, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, Mike, I mean, you know, you go back and you could keep, actually, a lot, most guys do, you know, and it's, I don't understand, you know, you get to a point, you know, every boxer, you know, I mean, you start off from the time that they put the gloves on, you know, their goal, most boxer's goal is to become a world champion. You try to get a team around you and you start becoming successful at it, and you would think that if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know?
Yeah. You know, sometimes a fighter will want to blame the trainer when they get successful and they get lazy in the gym. It's always the trainer's fault, you know? They can't motivate them anymore. They need something different. You know, it's hard to explain. You know, it's
a people, boxing phenomena.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's just the fact that the trainers do get lazy. The trainers do. The trainers aren't hungry anymore either. You know, they're getting a good chunk of change for a long period of time, and they don't want to motivate the fighter anymore.
Well, if they keep losing their job, they're going to be hungry because they're not going to be able to afford to eat. Hey, you know, yesterday we got into so many, well, we got into a bunch of stuff, and before we knew it, the time was gone. But I wanted to touch base a little bit on last Friday's fights because there was certainly a lot, some televised, some not. And first of all, if you want, let's start off with the
Amadek fight. You know, he pretty much spanked, like we said, you know, which I think everybody know, Gary Gomez, you know, scored a seventh round knockout over Gomez on Friday Night Fights. No surprises here, right?
No, I was a little surprised that he scored the knockout. You know, I figured that he'd take him to school, but I didn't figure he'd knock him out. Gary Gomez has got a tough chin. I mean, that's his whole stick, you know, is that he can take a punch. As you can see, he doesn't miss too many donuts.
No, he didn't look. You know, he did look tough. He was out of shape, I thought, and you know, he claimed that he hurt his hand, but he was taking a beating.
Well, you know, it's tough when you're lifting those quarter pounders all day. Mm. you might sprain a wrist or something.
Yeah, you could tell that he's got that the definition in his arms from those. An occasional, you know, he ends his workout with the quarter pounders with a Big Mac.
Yeah, well, he had some rippling love handles there too. So,
you know,
I'm telling you what, his opponent, you know, Tomas needs to get a defense though, because Stevie Cunningham will, you know, take him out in about three if he doesn't.
Yeah, he looked kind of small, I thought, Amadek.
Yeah, well, a little small, but maybe it was just the opponent.
Yeah, you know what? You might be right, because every time I did look at him, it was when he was kind of in front of him, because when they had the camera on him by himself, you can't really notice any size. I think you're right. I think Gomez did make him look small, but he seemed thin to me. I don't know. I guess he weighed.
Talking about yesterday. I got an email from a friend. He wanted me to pass on your address. Yeah, Emil Griffith, you know, emailed me and said, "Who's that guy calling me Emily?"
I don't call him Emily. I call him Emily. Emily.
Emil.
Emil. Yeah, Emily. Emily.
Yeah. His cousin's name Emily.
Well, I would say something, but I'm not gonna. He's too great of a fighter, but anyway, I talk to him every time I see him. He's always at the fights in New York, and he's a great guy, really, and he enjoys himself, you know. So,
I think Chris Rock had it right. You don't want to laugh at a guy who can kick your butt.
No, and you know what? You know, he's getting on in years and stuff, but I bet you he could still...
Oh, so he's fair game for you?
No. Yeah, that's... I wait till they get to be about 80.
Bill picks on women and elderly.
Not women, okay? Maybe I'll beat up an old man or two, but not... No. I don't do any of that.
I don't want to get us off track today. No. You know, that was just... I thought that was slightly nice of him, but...
He's a great guy. You know, he always takes the time to talk and you know, boxing, and I tell you what, he had a great time signing his book up at the he just put that book out, and he loves the fans. You know, some of these guys, after they retire in sports, they seem to, like, you know, not want to give the fans the time. But you know what, I will say this, for the majority of the boxers, when they retire, they love the fans. They love when the fans recognize them and want, you know, to talk boxing with them. And Emily is no different.
No, not at all. I've got a great picture of him and myself and Marvin Hagler at some fundraiser several years back, and he was great to talk with, and, you know, good people.
You know, also Friday night, we had a bit of an upset. Santos wins, becomes a title holder for the third time. Did you get to see that fight? I did not.
No, but I got a chance to, you know, catch some bootleg videos around, and it looked good. Daniel Santos is a character. He's a great guy, and he's a talented fighter who's had some, you know, problems here and there, but. You know, he's the mistake a lot of people make is they consider him, because he's lost a couple of fights, they consider him like, you know, an opponent, and he's nobody's opponent.
You know, the business of boxing has changed so much, and I think it's a reflection on, you know how we're always talking about, you know, overprotecting fighters and this and that? I think that contributes to why people put so much value in a loss or two. You know, like you've said a million times on this show and on the Talking Boxing show that, you know, hey, you know, the guy lost the fight, so now everybody thinks he's done. You know, back in the day, I mean, you look through, you know me. I go through all of the past boxes all the time, and I look at these records of great, great fighters, and, you know, it's not uncommon to see double-digit losses, you know, in the loss column, you know? And there's nothing wrong. It didn't prevent them from getting into the Hall of Fame. And I just... But they also fought tougher fights. Do you think it's kind of a balancing act that we kind of subconsciously do?
Yeah, you know, they fought tougher fights, and they fought more often, and they fought a lot more. You know, we're going to do Joe Jeanette this week on Talking Boxing, and you know, here's a guy that fought the best of the best.
Tough. They call, you know, I see, that's all you have to do is mention something to get me rolling here. You know how the one thing I've always said, Keith, you know, I've never was a big, I know a lot of people are going to disagree with what I'm going to say, but I was never really a big fan of Evander Holyfield. I'm not knocking him. He you know, really revolutionized modern training techniques, I think, and he always came to fight, and all of the accomplishments he did inside the ring. The one thing that I always recognized with him was his very fast recuperative powers. And Joe Jeanette was a similar guy. I mean, here's a guy that would basically take, you know, he would recuperate quick. And he also took a page out of like a Jake LaMotta, where he would let people, you know, tire themselves out on him. And not, I'm not talking 4 or 5 rounds. I'm talking, you know, 15 rounds and then come on in the last 5, because they used to fight 20-round fights. Tough character, right?
You know, they fought as many as 50 rounds, you know, and tough character. And I think, you know, LaMotta probably got his recuperative and some of his technique from Jeanette, considering they fought, you know, 20 years apart. But and that's the thing that we don't, you know, we when we're in the middle of history and we're looking at these guys before they hang up the gloves, it's hard to recognize that, you know, there's guys in our generation who are still fighting that are going to be first ballot Hall of Famers. Guys like James Toney, guys like Evander Holyfield. And we say, well, you know, how could that be? But look at who they fought in their time and how often and how many belts they acquired. And I think Daniel Santos, if he continues the way he's going, you know, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Well, he's calling out. We're going to take a break. We'll finish up talking about Santos, but
he's calling everybody out.
No, yeah, but I just want to. I'm going to mention about the Oscar call out. What do you think about that when we come back? But you know, the one thing I will say is, you know, I agree with what you just said before about, you know, when you're in the middle of history, because you know what I. You know, you and I have talked about boxing right now in 2008, and we're clearly in a resurgence. But you know what? I think that, and I've said it before, I think that not only are we in a resurgence, but 20 years from now, 25 years from now, people are going to look at this era from, like, you know, 2000 and the end of 2005, and hopefully it's going to continue for a couple of years now, as a golden era, as a great era of boxing. You know, the only division that's kind of weak right now is the heavyweights. Aside from that, every other division is stocked with talent. So, Keith, we're going to take a break. We're going to finish up talking about Santos when we come back. And, I don't know, we'll be back in 2 minutes. We'll be right back.
Would you rather hear this?
Down goes Frazier! Down
or
goes
this?
You have to stand still! Who gave you permission?
The Billy C. Morning Show. We'll be right back. You've heard those other sports talk radio shows.
Tomorrow's game will be the first meeting between the two, beating both. Will be the game 3 at 3 p.m. It seems every week they have a player. Oh no.
Talking Boxing with Billy C will give you the latest news, results, upcoming fights, interviews with today's upcoming boxing stars every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. for 2 hours.
Passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
It's Talking Boxing with Billy C.
The fight's on us. GoFightLive.tv is your internet home for live and on-demand boxing video. Go to GoFightLive.tv to see great boxing action, including live fights, live daily webcams of fighters training and competing, video boxing shows featuring celebrities of today and yesterday, as well as boxing news, interviews, stats, and new innovative and exciting content added daily. Click on www.GoFightLive.tv. The fight's on us!
Jeremy!
What's up? Look what Billy's got me doing now. He wants the limo. He wants the cigars. Now he wants his lunch catered.
What's up with this guy?
Dude, what are you doing, man?
I'm doing the website 24 hours a day. My phone's ringing. It's Billy.
Hey, you got the website updated?
TalkingBoxing.com. Got to download those podcasts, people.
If you want to contact the show as well, you could go there.
Contact page is everybody's email address.
And listen to some of the old guests. Don King, Roy Jones Jr.
Pretty much every Thursday morning, you can see who next week's show is going to consist
it's
of.
TalkingBoxing.com.
Every hero needs a sidekick.
Batman had Robin.
Sherlock had Watson.
Han Solo had Chewie.
Billy C has Jeremy.
It doesn't help that you make me go wash the limo. Nothing worse than a fat guy fart. Oh, I'll just put the bottle between my legs. Bill, I say the older the better, man. I want 80-year-olds out there. He was dressed like a big schlong. I wanted to punch him right in his face. Who's producing the show?
I don't know.
Join the fun on the Billy C Morning Show. It's Jeremy.
Lock the bathroom. Don't let him in there.
Yeah, the maid will clean it up.
Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Billy C. Morning Show, only on Go Fight Live. And are you wiping that puke from your mouth?
Or yeah.
This guy comes in here, comes in the studio.
I feel sorry for Eric when he comes in tomorrow.
Comes in the studio, Keith, you know, just comes in the studio seconds before we hit. You know, actually, we were on.
You had already gone on air.
I already started.
You were sitting in my chair.
You know, I'm ready to do the intro and, you know, jump back into the, you know, the good chair.
The good chair.
And he comes busting in. You know, he's off the air, he's telling me, oh, this and that, but I don't feel good, this and that. And he gets up. I thought he was making himself a coffee. He's in the bathroom. Blah, blah. You know, what are you, pregnant?
Actually, I am. I was going
to
announce.
What are you trying to break that record?
I was going to announce it at the end of the show. But, you know, now that you've done it, yes.
You know, I mean, I saw in the news that some man gave birth to a kid, which is a big BS story.
Of course.
Because it wasn't a man.
No.
It was a woman who.
It was a shim.
It was a shim. So the guy, he's going around saying that,
hey, Daddy,
I'm a man having a baby, but it wasn't a man. It was a woman who was turned herself into a man.
That doesn't count.
Right. I don't think that counts, but I think you're going to break
it. And just for the record, it doesn't count when a man turns himself into a woman. Right? Does that count?
As
if a
what?
Man turns himself into a woman,
they can't give birth.
Know. No, not birth wise. I'm just saying, technically, that's a woman now, right?
I don't know. I don't want to talk.
Just for the record, I'm saying.
I don't want to talk about
this. Just for the record.
I think you're weirding out.
Okay, I got to go.
I don't know what you're doing. Keith, help me.
That doesn't make you gay if you're with a girl who used to.
Never mind.
Let's talk boxing. Let's talk boxing. Keith, boxing, go.
Santos calling out Oscar De La Hoya. Why? For the money? I mean, does he have, you know, everybody wants to.
Of
course. There's two. Yeah, but, you know, doesn't it get kind of redundant? There's two names that everybody throws out when they want to make a challenge.
Jeremy Kelly. Oh.
No. They either say,
you know, who,
Oscar or Floyd.
He's not going to call out Alma Fudd. I mean, you know,
he's not going to call out Keith Tissara. Hey, I want Keith Tissara.
I'm not going to put no cash. You know, why does he want to take an ass whooping from me? I mean, you know, I can't put any cash in his pocket.
Right. No, I know. I know the reason. I just think it's so. Do the fans really buy it? I mean, I think we're more.
Everybody does it. Everybody, and I feel bad for these. The same three guys get picked on all the time.
I know. Like, everybody wants to fight.
I want him. I want, and you know, half of them don't even have belts. What do you want Jermaine Taylor for?
Right.
You know, he don't have a belt. He don't have nothing for you.
Well.
You know? But they all get picked on, and, you know, poor guys.
You know, the thing, the worst part about it is that half the time the guys doing the calling out, they don't really want to fight half the people they're threatening, you know?
Well, the funny thing is, half the time these guys call somebody out, you know, they owe their promoters so much money that you know, the promoters ain't going to, hey, we don't want him. We don't need you to lose. You just won the belt, man. Let's make some money first.
Right. Let's get an easy defense or something.
Yeah, really. Right. You know, that's like what gets me with these prospects like Chris Areola and Derek Rossi and all these guys. They get on the show and they say, yeah, I'll take anybody. And then, you know, you find out that they've been offered the fight and they turned it down.
Right. Well, you know, Brian Minto is classic of that. You know, he wants to fight everybody, but he's looking for a lot of money. Chris Areola, he's calling out everyone, like you said. But, you know, I don't know. He better watch out. I mean, a guy like Areola, although I think, you know, could, you know, has the power to knock out a Klitschko or something like that, he better watch out what he's asking for, because, you know, if Klitschko's on his game and he gets his jab going, like we saw, you know, when you know, he was battering around Brock and you know, Tim Austin, you know, those kind of guys that come right at him and let him, you know,
yeah,
use his jab. I mean, a guy like Areola, who's a, you know, kind of a charge without taking caution, you know, he's in trouble.
Yeah, well, you mean he never met a glove his face didn't like. I
exactly,
mean,
exactly. He's perfected the face block, you know.
That's it.
You know, Friday fights, we're talking about Friday fights, another one I wanted to mention that wasn't televised. In a pretty sad crowd, from what I understand, they had it labeled as 200 people at the National Guard Armory in Philly on Friday night to watch Michael Grant fight, you know, making another run for a title. He fought the tough Demetrius King. From what I understand, from somebody who was there, if there was 125 people there, they were lucky. You know, so
that's a shame, because the armory, you know, has a long history of boxing there, and it's sad to see that happen.
You know why, Keith? It comes down to the point, and I'm not going to get into the promoter or anything like that, but I think that the mistake a lot of young promoters make, and to be honest with you, the reason why I can make this statement is because I made the same mistake myself, you know, years ago when I did, you know, my first boxing event. You know, you cannot rely on the gate. If you think that you are going to put together a show, unless you got Mike Tyson or you got Evander Holyfield or you got Vladimir Klitschko or you got Lennox Lewis coming and you got a name that everybody knows, then you can rely on the gate. But when you got, I mean, Michael Grant, yes, he's a well-known fighter, but he's been out of the mix for so long. And you know, he's Demetrius King, although he's a tough guy, I mean, you know, come on, he's not a household name. You know, you have to have something else, or you have to promote it really well. You can't depend on a gate. So from what I understand, you know, as a result of the poor ticket sales, everybody's fighting with the promoter, nobody's getting paid, or they haven't gotten paid yet, or they're, you know, the payment's on the way. And Keith, you've been involved, you matchmake, and you're involved with this kind of stuff all the time. Why do they keep doing it? I mean, what attracts people to make them think that, you know, they're going to do something for the first time that everyone else has failed at?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I blame boxing itself, because what will happen is, you know, I've been to some ESPN shows that there were 300 people in the crowd, you know, but all 300 people were sitting on the side that the camera was pointing.
Right.
You know, and we do it to ourselves. I mean, you know, we put on the facade that, oh, yeah, we had a successful show, and then the reporters don't report. I mean, I've been involved, unfortunately, either had fighters or friends or guys that put on shows involved in with promoters, probably a half a dozen in the last 2 years, that, you know, ran out the back door or were writing rubber checks.
Or checks that you can't even deposit.
Yeah, exactly. And it happens too often, and it happens in commissions that don't penalize promote, you know, first of all, there's not enough promoters, so, you know, they're afraid if they penalize them too badly and pull licenses that, you know, there's one less guy doing shows in this state, and sometimes there's only one, you know. So,
Not in your state.
I blame us, you know, as well. I mean, I for one, you know, that's one of my pet peeves. If if I catch you, you're a promoter, and I find out that you're bouncing checks, I'm going to have you all over, you know, the radio, all over the internet. You know, I'm going to warn fighters, because I tell you what, there's no sense in stepping in a ring. Take a chance on getting put in a wheelchair. Take a chance on getting put in a funeral home. And then your check's going to bounce.
Well, how much of this burden should be on the commission? How much of the burden should be on the commission to police it? All of it.
All of it.
Right.
That's their job. That's what they get paid for. That's what commissioners, some commissioners make $100,000, you know, guys like Hazard in New York making $160,000 a year. You know, guys like out in Vegas making, you know, six figures. That's why they get
paid. Are they hiring? Are any of those guys hiring?
I'm telling you. You know, that's why they're making a paycheck. They need to know. They need to be able to go to their legislature and say, you know, our bond is not high enough nowadays. You know, that's one thing, like here in Arkansas, this is a $1,000 bond.
Yeah, but then,
I mean, $1,000 don't pay for a four-round preliminary fight.
Yeah, but the other thing is you've got to stipulate what the bond is protecting. Originally, the bond was going to protect the payroll for the fighters. But
no,
really...
No, don't even believe that. Don't even believe that. That's the thing that, you know, politicians do. You know, politicians will, you know, they'll talk out of both sides of their face. What the purpose of the bond was... They'll tell you it was to protect the fighter, but basically it was to protect their cut. You know, they pull the bond so that the state gets their money.
So they get the tax money.
Exactly.
No, I know.
That's why a lot of these states have very minimum bonds, you know, because they get their tax money first.
Well, I know personally that New York does not have a minimum bond, and what they bond you could pretty much... I mean, unless it's a, you know, huge, huge fight, which they don't, you know, it's the same price, whether it's a 200-seat arena or, you know, 20,000. But, you know, the thing is what they should do with these bonds is stipulate who's being protected. You know, there's a lot of sponsors that get ripped off, the fighters, like we mentioned, you know, even the poor referees and the judges. I mean, everybody becomes a victim, and the promoter gets to... You know, either slide out the back door, like you said, or in a lot of cases, maybe go bankrupt with that promotion company and open up another one next week. You know,
exactly. You know, it costs you what, you know, $1.95 to incorporate. You know, and then you can't be held personally liable. You know, so you know, you can have 500 corporations in a year if you wanted to. You know, and each corporation going bankrupt. I mean, eventually. You know, to burn you out. I mean, you know, you do that once or twice, and you can forget about it in the sport of boxing. It gets around.
But yeah, I was just going to say, fortunately, in the sport of boxing, as big as it is, it's a small community behind the scenes, because everybody knows everybody, really. When you start to, you know, if you don't, it's like the 6 degrees of separation or something with what's his name. It's
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, something like, no. Well, it's oh, what did I say? Separation.
Yeah, that's the right one. But then they came up with 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Right, right.
That's the one, Emily.
Well, hey, come on. I wouldn't be me if I didn't murder names.
He's got Emily Harney on his mind.
You know, no. Emily. That's how you say it, isn't it?
Emil.
Well, I think you should spell it differently. but you know,
you should spell it
just one thing. We got to take a break. One thing I just want to mention about the thing about the about the people, the people, the empty seats. Yeah, that's it. The empty seats. Now you're talking. But no, you know, years ago when you used to get a televised fight like ESPN, they used to throw enough money at the promoters where, you know, they concentrate on the main event that's going to be televised. They sprinkle in some local, you know, flavor, and then they could care less if they sold the ticket, because they're breaking even. So every hamburger they sell, every beer they sell, every ticket they sell is going in their pocket. Now that's changed. I think that, you know, it's funny you say that, because I do that. I look at the crowd. I try to get a feel for how big the crowd is. All right, we got to take a break, Keith, and we'll come back and We'll finish murdering people's names and making suggestions for people to change their name and all that other stuff. I think you should have the I before the E. That's what I think, Keith. We'll be right back.
Is the roommate still asleep? We'll take care of this. It's the Billy C. Morning Show on GoFightLive.tv. Attention, all podcasters. Talkin' Boxing with Billy C has set up a brand new podcast feed that will include new features and downloads every week. Even if you already subscribed to the podcast in the past, just go to
TalkinBoxing.com
and hit the subscribe banner today to enjoy the new feed. That's TalkinBoxing.com.
The fight's on us. GoFightLive.tv is your internet home for live and on-demand boxing video. Go to GoFightLive.tv to see great boxing action, including live fights, live daily webcams of fighters training and competing, video boxing shows featuring celebrities of today and yesterday, as well as boxing news, interviews, stats, and new innovative and exciting content added daily. Click on www.GoFightLive.tv. The fight's on us!
If you want your voice heard on Talkin' Boxing with Billy C, then call our hotline
at 845-228-8710.
Leave a voicemail. Or you could just tell Billy C that you like his mustache.
Should I ask you your opinion about this idea?
I'm just trying to give you the encouragement.
Listen, all I need from you is to make sure you don't hang up on people.
And if we like your call, we'll play it back on the air.
Billy, you have the knowledge and wisdom of boxing because of what you do and how well you do.
Leave your name, hometown, and what you think of the show. 845-228-8710. We want to hear you.
Jeremy!
What's up? Look what Billy's got me doing now. He wants the limo. He wants the cigars. Now he wants his lunch catered.
What's up with this guy?
Dude, what are you doing, man?
I'm doing the website. 24 hours a day. My phone's ringing. It's Billy.
Hey, you got the website updated?
TalkinBoxing.com. Got to download those podcasts, people.
If you want to contact the show as well, you could go there.
Contact page is everybody's email address.
And listen to some of the old guests. Don King, Roy Jones Jr.
Pretty much every Thursday morning, you can see who next week's show is going to consist
it's
of.
TalkinBoxing.com.
Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Billy C. Morning Show, only on Go Fight Live. Joined with my buddy Keith Tessaro from good old Arkansas. And we're changing the way the world spells names, I think. Keith, tomorrow night, Haseem Rahman, James Toney. You know, it's I admit I'm softening up for this fight. I really was, you know, hated it. Couldn't stand the fact that they were both getting a shot. But you know what? I think you softened me up, and you I got to give you credit for it because you're right. You know, I mean, here's as long as they, you know, they're in the press now saying that the losers definitely retire. They both agree. Blah blah blah. I hope it's true. But you know, word out of, you know, well, your inside scoop out of Rockman's camp is he's in, well, we've heard this before, but we think it's for real that he's in the best shape of his career so far, right?
Yeah, you know, according to Marshall, I'm going to try and reach him today, early, before all the weigh-in and everything. You know, I'd be interested to see one go, you know. I think James Toney is about at the end of it, you know. But he's a character, you know. He's your type of fighter.
character. He does
a great interview. All you hear is, you know, long tones of bleeping out.
Yeah.
When you interview James.
No, it's not. You know, I think I was misunderstood. You know, it's not that I need a guy like that. I just. They are entertaining, though, we'll say. And most people know who he is. If you mention his name, they know who he is, you know. But, you know, it should be a good fight. It's on Fox Sports Network tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what we never talked about? Speaking of networks, I have all this stuff that I want to talk about. We just don't have the time. But versus getting which I never was a big contender fan, but versus... I guess got the rights to broadcast the Contender Series.
Yeah, you know, the only reason I'll watch it this year because, you know, I loved it the first year. I think it strayed away from its original plan, and then started putting in, you know, guys that, you know, it's supposed to be top contenders. It's supposed to be, you know, prospects. It was the first year. The second year, they started bringing in ex-champions and guys who just had title shots. And pretty soon, you know, I'm saying this isn't a show about prospects. This is a way that top contender is getting their feet into the promotional waters.
Yep.
You know, trying to find the best available fighters instead of, you know, exposing America to good young guys. They're, you know, interested in inking deals, you know.
I couldn't stand the fact that the fight would have taken place. You know, well, like when they put it on TV, it already took place weeks before.
Yeah, you know, you go to buy, or 6 months before, you know, in the case of last year with the Irish or the English versus USA. Yeah, I mean, you know, you knew all you had to do is go to BoxRec, and you'd had the score 6 months before the show even aired, so you knew.
Yeah, why couldn't they do that live?
You know what? Well, remember when we first started talking boxing, and we were in Snoop's gym in Poughkeepsie. One of our earliest guests,
right?
Yes, Jerson Varela.
Yeah,
he came on, and you know, he was. We were talking about it, and the way everything was built. You know, it was like his fight was going to air that week or something.
Yeah, it was
that
night, and or he's going, a couple nights later.
Yeah, and he's going, yeah, well, you know, now I'm scheduled to fight so-and-so. You know, that fight took place. You know, we're not allowed to talk about it. We had a sign. I'm like, it just pushed me right away. I was like, you know, and then the sound effects you hear. It was like watching back Batman, you know.
But you gotta think, you're having a big reality show like that. I mean, the biggest one is American Idol, and they do their things live. Why couldn't they do the fights live?
I don't know. I
don't know. Maybe it costs too much. I have no idea.
They had the closed arenas, right? There'd be like the friends and family there. Really, right? And then
guy in a suit got it all wrong.
And what was right? Exactly. That's what
you call
it is.
Me. I'll run the show.
Somebody made the wrong decision. But Keith, why did they only do five rounds? Do you know?
You know what? I have no idea. I thought it was a great idea. I mean, I think championship fights should be either 13 or 11.
So there's no draws, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, they'd always figure out a way to get a draw.
Come on, you know those. You know that number three judge.
Yeah.
That number three judge that comes up with the weird
judge.
Scores. Yeah.
Yeah, you know the brother-in-law disguised, you know, as a judge.
Right.
But, you know, you the traveling judge, the guy that goes around all over the country every fight, you know.
The guy who's in the camp of the guy that's supposed to win. That guy.
Yeah, right.
The guy who's the guy who gets his paychecks from the same guy the fighter does.
I'm not only the judge, I'm the limo driver.
Right. And guess what? Holy crap, that's a promoter, too.
Hey, I'm the ref, too.
You know, but but anyway, you know, also tomorrow night we got Delvin Rodriguez against Oscar Diaz. That's going to be a great fight, I tell you. Another good star boxing card that's out of Texas. You know, Delvin is a good fighter, but Oscar Diaz is a good fighter too. So
yeah, this is like a cornerstone fight for both these guys.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, one becomes one takes a couple of steps down the ladder, you know, and the other one takes a couple of steps up. Based on who wins this, and you know, even the co-main, Terrence Coffin against Alexi Camacho. Now that's a big step up for Camacho to fight Terrence Coffin.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's that's what I'm saying. There's just so many good fights out there. I hope that the people, the boxing fans, realize, you know, what we're witnessing. And then Friday, my man Yuri Caucus Gamboa. I love this kid. I'm really curious to see him now that, you know, he's been spanked and his bubble gum was taken away. And we'll see if he keeps his hands up. You know, everybody commented on that. He was lucky to get away with a W last outing. So we'll see if anything's changed with him. I just hope his, you know, that attitude hasn't changed. You know, I mean, I'm hoping that his brain has changed and he understands why he's got to keep his hands up. But I love that attitude. You know, I think that's what separates him from some other fighters.
Well, you know, and then Friday's fight, Friday's ESPN 2 fight is Gamboa, a 10-0, you know, the 10-0 Cuban sensation.
That's what I just said. Do we have a delay?
Yeah, fighting Rojas.
Well, yeah, right. That's what I was saying. I love Yuri Caucus Gambo. He's a great fighter, right? I just hope he keeps his hands up. Remember, everybody was commenting because he had his hands down in his last fight?
Yeah, yeah.
On Showtime?
Showboating a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was that much better than everybody, but now he's fighting, you know, he's fighting some tough guys. I mean, he's ranked. I noticed I was updating the rankings yesterday on thedailysports.com, and I noticed that, you know, he's ranked in, I believe, two of the four up in the top five, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, here's a guy that's probably had 300 amateur fights before he turned pro. I mean, he's another Olympian, so, you know, and a Cuban sensation. So, you know, he belongs up there. I mean, he's got the experience, and as long as he keeps winning, I don't blame him for putting him up there. I mean, here's a guy, you know, by the time he's 15-0, he's fighting for a title.
Yeah, he's probably going to sooner than later, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they're just toughening up. You know, a lot of the divisions are just tightening up. You know, the only one that's really disappointing is the heavyweight division. And what's good, and we were talking about the contender, what's good about this year is it's going to have our favorite weight division, the cruiserweights.
Yeah, I you know how I feel about that. I love that division. I think it's people are going. I hope people are just receptive to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the only thing that stinks about the cruiserweight division is the way these guys. You know, I love the fact that Rob Calloway got out of the heavyweight division and went back into the cruiserweight division and is kind of ruling it right now. You know, that's the real heavyweight division. It's, you know, the heavyweight division nowadays is the behemoth division. You know, it's like, you know, it's like feed the elephants at the zoo division. Where the cruiserweights is the historically heavyweight division. You know, the historical heavyweight division where Marciano fought, where, you know, the greats like Archie Moore fought is in that weight class.
Well, they're, you know, fighters are just bigger now.
Wake up. It's time for the...
It's too early for a trivia question.
Question.
He's too out of show, bud.
I guess Jeremy's keeping us on track here.
It's automatically time to do that at 6:57.
Well, I guess it's time for... It's too early for a trivia question. Question. First thing I'm going to do is... Actually, today's trivia question is going to be one that wasn't answered correctly, so I'm bringing that one back. But yesterday, Danny Hernandez from Albany, New York. What's a Hernandez doing up in Albany? He must have moved. But yesterday's too early for a trivia question was, who was the Herkimer Hurricane? Who was the Herkimer Hurricane? And Danny was correct. Lou Ambers.
Yeah.
The Herkimer Hurricane. He was born Luigi Giuseppe D'Ambrosio, and he was actually, you mentioned Rocky Marciano. He was Rocky Marciano's favorite fighter. He was born November 8th, 1913, in none other than Herkimer, New York, which is up near Albany. Maybe that's why Danny knew it. He was a former lightweight world champion, and he lost it and retained it, so he's two-time. That was correct. Today's too early for a trivia question. Question is a retread, so now that people are definitely calling in and leaving us your email, which is easy to do, Billy@TalkingBoxing.com, or Keith@TalkingBoxing.com, or Jeremy@TalkingBoxing.com.
Or Bob or
Phil. Eric@TalkingBoxing.com. Or info@TalkingBoxing. You know what? If you put anything there, we're going to get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, Dick.
Today, why you got to go?
Dick, he works in accounting.
Richard, you mean?
Yeah, Richard.
Oh. Richard Hertz? Is that who you're talking about? Richard Hertz?
That's the one. You know, Haywood's cousin?
Yeah. John L. Sullivan is considered to be the first gloved world heavyweight champion. Who did he beat and where? To get that title. Who did he beat and where? All right. And then now we got on this day, since we are, I'm noticing we got about a minute. On this day, July 15th.
This day in boxing history.
That was Keith. That was the one he played for everything. Hey, I need the trivia promo. He'd play this. Hey, we need the Keith promo. He played this, you know. But anyway, on this day in boxing history, July 15th, 2006, Javier Castillo knocked out Felix Strum. in Hamburg, Germany, to win the WBA middleweight title. That took place on July 15th, 2006, and I probably murdered all of those names as well.
Probably.
So, Keith, you want...
Javier Castellet. Okay.
Joe, hey, G.I. Joe, we call everybody Joe, hey. You know, but anyway, Keith, you got anything to add for the last 30 seconds?
Oh, no.
I just wanted to say that I really like one of my favorite parts of the show, although it means the show is over, is this song, The Beautiful People That We Fade Up.
That you fade up?
You know, by Marilyn Mansoon.
Yeah. Anyway, just everyone remember, tune in tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel, only on GoFightLive.tv. Everybody, have a good day.
Ciao, guys.